Welcome to the show. My name is Blackstone Joe, and you're listening to episode 77. Today's show is titled No Oil, No Problem, where I'm going to break down a couple examples where engines ran low on oil and what the results meant for each engine going forward. Before I break down the main event, though, I do have, let's say, a gripe and some gratitude. I'm balancing these things out. Here's the gripe. And look, it's not a big deal, but it's something I need to get off my chest. As a Fort Wayne native, yes, Fort Wayne, also home of the greatest oil analysis laboratory in the world. It is my hometown. And whenever I leave Fort Wayne, say, for example, this past weekend, I took a trip to Nashville for a bachelor party, I'll find myself having to explain Fort Wayne to other people. And this mainly comes up with people who are from, you know, big cities in the Midwest, Chicago, Indy. I'll get done explaining Fort Wayne, and for some reason, they'll always ask you a question that's basically akin to, Fort Wayne, do you guys have a food there? Or stores, you know? It always boils down to some sort of question that is like meant to ask whether or not we have the basic things needed to function. And like, look, but the last I checked, Fort Wayne, with a population north of like 340,000, I think the exact number was like 343,000. People live here. So it's just hilarious to me that people have to like ask whether or not we have the basic things needed to survive. Like somehow we've managed to be the second biggest city in Indiana, and people still wonder if we have the we have running water and street signs and parking spots as well. We have those too. Fully functioning city, people, I guarantee you. On a positive note, like I mentioned, I was just in Nashville. It was fantastic. Shout out Country Music Hall of Fame. Shout out, Nissan Stadium. That was actually a really good time. I went to the Colts-Titans game, and as a Bears fan, I did not care at all watching the Colts lose. But the Nissan Stadium, very nice. Shout out Johnny Cash Bar and Barbecue and various establishments on Broadway. It was a great time. And the Blazer did very well on the highway. I'm going to keep bragging about the Blazer because I love it. And it handled the trip very well. I look forward to going back. But now it's time for the gratitude. I have up next listener shoutouts. The first one goes to Andrew, aka the local engineer. Thank you so much for being a listener of Slick Talk, and also congratulations on the phenomenal results with your 21 Gladiator with the V6 engine. Looks fantastic. Really makes for easy report writing. We love engines that wear consistently, that have no issues with contamination, because amongst all of the bad news that sometimes we find ourselves sending out, it's nice to see an engine like that V6, where it's been looking great from the start. And clearly, that's a credit to an effective maintenance plan. Thanks again for being a listener. Also, shout out to Travis with the Lycoming 0360. Also, thank you for being a listener. And we saw your mention of wanting to hear a bit more AC topics. And I have a couple I'm going to break down right here. These are sort of mini segments, but let me just say that the subject matter is very important, both for our purposes and for any aircraft's maintenance plan. Number one, if you ever use a DC4 or any similar sealer or lube around the oil filter gasket or during any sort of repair, a good thing to mention on the slip, that way we don't spend time speculating about your engine having an air filtration issue. So, good thing to let us know anytime you're using a product like DC4. And here's something not to use because it's been on my mind lately. I was recently looking at aircraft where there was clear use of automotive oil. So any non-ashless dispersant oil, bad news for an aircraft. It can cause detonation, which is clearly something you want to avoid up in the sky. So use of non-AD oil, it's really obvious for us. I think it's, you know, it's kind of like when a parent catches their kid in a lie and the kid might try and spin out of it, but the parent's just standing there knowing they have seen with their own eyes a hand in the cookie jar. There's just no getting around it. When we are in the analyst chair and we're looking at a sample with sudden spikes, or say if it's the first sample, just very high levels of, you know, elements like magnesium and molybdenum and boron, and we see these elements go up, and it just means one thing, and that is that the wrong oil was in use. We're gonna call it out, and obviously we're not always gonna assume that the owner, you know, made a mistake. Could very well be related to whoever was performing the maintenance. But no matter the situation, using non-AD oil, bad news, and something we'll be sure to point out. And as well, if you ever suspect that that's been going on with your aircraft, you can send in a sample and we will let you know if we're finding any indicator of the wrong oil being in use. Now let's break down the main event, folks. It's time to break down instances of no oil, no problem, at least in one scenario. In the other, we're going to break down the less than ideal results that can arise from using a marine diesel. Now, we have a bit of a prelude here. That being an existing sample history before this engine ran very low on oil. Things look good, okay? So we have trends to rely on. And we saw an engine that had a proven track record of wearing very well. We also have an engine where there was a track record of no harmful contaminants and oil with good physical properties across the board. So that's important. And when we get into the not so good example, you'll really see why. But we have an engine with historical data to reference. And we know what the engine is capable of doing from a wear standpoint. And then the owner sends in this sample where the engine ran dangerously low on oil and they want to keep an eye on it, see what might have come as a result. Well, the owner did one thing that was really good here. They didn't run that oil very long. They were able to catch the issue and stop it in its tracks, which is important. I was on the phone not too long ago with a customer where they had noticed a low oil light, but figured it must have been, you know, an issue with the car computer, not an actual low oil level. Always err on the side of caution in these instances, because the owner deciding to take the engine out of service as soon as they noticed that the oil level was low was crucial, because that helped keep metals low. So we have the sample data prior to the incident, and then we have the sample data where the oil was changed right after the low level was noted. Importantly, the customer took things a step further. They sampled another oil run where the engine was back to its full sump capacity. They were keeping a close eye on how it operated, and we could see that the engine didn't seem to suffer any ill effects from a wear standpoint after the episode. Having these building blocks is so important, and you'll see why here with our second example, where this was a 5.7 liter powering a Suburban. The bad news was everywhere in this report, but it really started with the fact that it was the first sample from the engine. We don't know what that engine was doing before running dangerously low on oil. So when we meet the engine, it's in rough shape, right? A lot of metal throughout the engine. And then there was also the presence of coolant. We could tell coolant was there. There's enough potassium to show, you know, not a huge leak, but a leak all the same. And we also have a lot of silicon. Like I mentioned earlier during aircraft talk, if it's from a sealer or a lube, that's not a big deal. But in the absence of any sort of recent work, the likely explanation for that silicon is going to be abrasive dirt debris. So we have an instance where the engine was running low on oil. That's obviously bad news, especially if it went on for a while. And then we have the presence of coolant and the likely presence of dirt and debris that got past the air filter. A lot can be going on here. So A, the engine can be wearing poorly due to that low oil level, but also contaminants could have been wreaking havoc. And furthermore, don't know what that engine looked like on the oil run previous, and there could well have been an existing mechanical issue, right? And we don't know how long the contaminants were there either. So basically, you can run into these situations where I think it's really easy to jump to conclusions and, you know, say you leave the dealer and your oil level's not quite full, or you leave the oil change place and maybe there's an issue with the filter, wrong filter installed or not put on all the way, and then you run into rapid oil loss. And I think from the owner's standpoint, it's really easy to, you know, kind of want to go for that dealer's throat and say, hey, look what you did to my engine. I took an oil sample and there's all this metal. Or just assuming, I would say, is the worst thing, that the engine is done for without even taking a sample is probably the worst thing. Keep in mind all the other factors here. So having an oil analysis program on your side from the get-go, letting you know how that engine was wearing before the incident and then after. Better that. Always better to be in that position than starting your oil analysis file with this issue. Because then we can see what the engine was looking like before, and we can see how it is recovering following that event. My first example, we have a marine diesel that clearly had no issue, and we can rely on sample data to speak to the engine getting back to its old ways of wearing very well. Don't wait for an issue to crop up just to start sampling your engine. But if you do start sampling your engine with the appearance of an issue, and the engine appears to run well following this incident, sample it again, see where things go. If you have high wear, let's say, following an episode of no oil, and the engine's doing all right on your end, that second sample will go a long way in letting you know if there are, in fact, any lingering issues, if the engine is starting to wear more and more, or if, ideally, you're good to go. I guess the worst possible thing is jumping to a conclusion and assuming an engine is done for just because of one less than ideal event. Now, I brought two examples to the table as they're easy for comparison, but I would say it's probably more often than not where I see samples following these incidents of little to no oil and things not looking as bad as you might think. In fact, it's pretty common for things to look okay. I think that's largely because folks tend to catch a low oil level pretty early. You know, even I'm talking very low, you know, not merely a quart or two. Generally, I think folks catch these fairly early on. And I would also say that's pretty common for there to be instances where an engine really doesn't look that bad. And the physical properties as well of the oil that remains aren't necessarily going to look terrible. So before you assume your engine is in this place where repairs are imminent or you're so confident that the engine is not going to make it, you know, past the warranty period, an oil sample will go a long way in telling you where things really stand, and sampling consistently more than once will tell you, okay, not only was the engine looking all right following this episode, but now I know what direction are things going. And that is really how you can keep things on lock and have an understanding of where that engine is going and not just where it stands following an episode like running low on oil. To wrap this show up, I want to cover a topic that's sort of adjacent to engines running low on oil. And this is specifically in reference to when you're taking a sample. A lot of people have engines that use some oil, right? Like a quart, maybe a couple quarts during an oil run. It's okay, more than okay, to send in a sample if you have to add some makeup oil. A lot of listeners know this, but some of you may be wary of sending in a sample if you've had to add any oil. That's fine to do, and it's something we keep in mind. So fresh oil plays a role like you might expect it to. So say the engine has a 4-quart sump and has used a quart during the oil run. You add a quart. Well, then metals are going to be, give or take, 25% lower than they would be otherwise, due to that fresh oil that didn't contain any metal going in the sump. So we keep these things in mind. And while I'm at it, when I talk about makeup oil, it's always good, I think, to clarify this. On the slip, we're not asking about the engine sump capacity. So we're not asking what you added at the last oil change. We're asking what you needed during the oil run. Feel free to add that oil as you need it. Just let us know how much is there, and we'll keep it in mind when we're looking at the results and we're making sense of, okay, metals might look a little too good for mileage or hours on the oil. Well, we'll have an understanding of why. That being the makeup oil helping to dilute metals down. Now, keep in mind, we can still understand how the engine is wearing. We can still understand if there's contaminants, how the oil is holding up. So it's fine to do. Just let us know what you're adding. And be mindful, too, if it's different brands, especially in gasoline engines. Some of them have different additive packages. And say if we see a spike in element like sodium, we'll know that's likely due to the oil, not a possible indicator of contamination. We'll keep all that in mind. Just let us know what you're using, how much you're adding. And yeah, above all else, when you run into these situations, whether it's a low oil level or you suspect there's some other problem, that first sample is going to set your baseline, all right? So the first sample tells you where things stand. The next sample tells you where things are going. That's kind of what I want to leave you with, whether it's a low oil level or something else. First impressions can be tricky. And to really get to know an engine, having more than one sample lets us say a whole lot more both about what condition your engine is currently in and where it's going, and as such, giving you that heads up to any pending repairs or any signs of a developing problem. And that's how we're best able to keep your engine on the road and running well. That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks again so much to our listeners. The outpouring of support for the show has just been incredible. And in addition to whatever notes you leave on the slips, please don't hesitate to leave a review on the platform that you're listening on. So notes on the oil slips are great in that, you know, we constantly are reminded in and around the building of the support the show has. But in order for more listeners to find us and get tuned into the show, reviews and ratings are crucial for algorithms to catch us and know that we're out there. So if you find yourself listening, you like what you hear, please do throw us a rating, a review, subscribe if you haven't already. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Blackstone Joe signing off. Deepest baritone in the game, but it can still sneak up on me sometimes. Okay.